I don't know about you, but I'm not an extrovert. I mean, I know I'm up here talking. It's a different thing, all right? I don't have to actually talk to you personally when I don't know you, all right? I just get to talk to everybody. But not everybody feels like, yes, I am the one who's going to go talk to all the people about Jesus. I have the strength and the power to do this. And if you're like me, if it's up to us, we won't. But I'll tell you what I've noticed is the people that you hang around with sometime really help you a lot with things that you aren't very good at. For example, when I would go on a missions trip in high school, the pastor would say, all right, we're going to go out and evangelize total strangers, and we're going to talk to them about Jesus in some of the darkest areas and the most drug-ridden places in our nation. And we're like, okay, are you going to be there? Because it really did matter. If Pastor Greg was like 5 feet away from you, you were like, okay, it's okay. He's right here. If something weird goes on, he'll jump in. If there's a question I don't know, he'll jump in, right? And so we really depended on his presence. Just it gave us just enough courage and boldness just to go and do something we would not otherwise do. Now, normally with your group of friends, sometimes those people in your group that are not so nice will encourage you to do things you never should do, and you end up doing them. So really, who you know and who you partner up with in life greatly impacts who you become. And we're going to talk about the one person that, if you have faith in Jesus, spends the most time with you out of anyone in the universe, more than your spouse, more than anybody else you know, and that's the Holy Spirit. He's with you all the time. Whether you remember he's there or not, whether you're ignoring his voice or forgot what it even sounds like, he's there. And so this morning, we want to spend some time looking at God's word, learning about the gift. That's what Jesus called the Holy Spirit. He's the gift, the comforter. I'm giving you this gift. Because if you don't know who the Holy Spirit is and what he's passionate about, it's really hard for him to change you. And it's hard to even think you have a great teammate. And if you don't know what he loves, how can you love it? If you don't know what he hates, how can you hate it? But he is the very presence of God in your life. So a lot of you probably know a lot about the Holy Spirit. Some of you might know literally almost nothing about the Holy Spirit. And you're like, who is that? So this is going to be a great Sunday for you to learn about who our God is and what he's passionate about and how that's supposed to change us. All right, let me pray for us as we dive into God's word. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you so much that we do not walk this life alone. Jesus, when you left, you said, I'm leaving. I'm going to prepare a place for you, but I am sending you the Holy Spirit. And it's even better that he would come and be with you than for me to stay. And so, Lord, we ask as we talk about the Holy Spirit this morning, Holy Spirit, would you do your work in our hearts? Would you help us to understand who you are and what drives you? And would your presence in us shape and mold us and give us boldness to do things that we would not do without you? Help us to understand who you are. We pray this in your name. Amen. All right, y'all. So we don't have the screen, the scriptures up on the screen this morning. Obviously, with everything going on this weekend in the lives of our staff, we could have done it, but we have our Bibles. So we don't need that. All right, we can work without that. And so I'm going to ask you to turn to Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, and would you stand with me? And we are going to listen to what Jesus tells his disciples. And the book of Acts picks up, yes, please do stand as you're turning there. He picks up here in the book of Acts the continuation of the story after Jesus has come back from the dead. So Jesus had met with his disciples many times after resurrection. And so Acts picks up and just describes what's going on before he leaves. And the final conversation about it helps us understand why Jesus thinks the Holy Spirit is so important for us. So Acts chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 1. We're going to go through verse 8. We're going to read pretty quick here. In this first book, O Theophilus, he's talking about Luke. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day when he was taken up. After he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, Jesus presented himself alive to them after suffering by many proofs. So many different times he presented himself during the 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. Who's the promise of the Father? The Holy Spirit. So Jesus says, don't go anywhere. Don't do anything. Don't leave the city. You stay and you wait until the Holy Spirit comes, in which he, Jesus, said, you heard from me. And this is Jesus talking. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And so when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They wanted to know when's it all going to be fixed? When is Israel going to be, you know, ruling everything and you're going to be king? How's this all work? And you know what Jesus says? It's not for you to know the time. He answers the question. He says, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But what should they focus on? And this is some of his last words to them. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. What do you think about when you think of the Holy Spirit? Because Jesus told his disciples, don't go anywhere, don't do anything until he comes. He had already told them what they were supposed to do. He had given them the Great Commission. Go and make disciples in Judea, in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and all over the world. But he'd tell them, but first wait. Because I can tell you, when I heard about the Holy Spirit growing up, it was kind of the one guy I didn't understand. In fact, I usually called the Holy Spirit an it. The Holy Spirit's in the room. Yes, it is. Right? I didn't understand that the Holy Spirit is a divine person. Distinct. He is part of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But for me, the Holy Spirit just seemed to be like the messenger. I almost confused him with like an angel. Doesn't the Holy Spirit only say what God the Father tells him to? Isn't that what he does only, right? He's like the communications department, right? The Holy Spirit is in you, communicating for you and to you, and that's all he does, right? He's almost like a royal messenger. Where the royal messenger comes and says, I have a message for the king. You know nothing about the messenger. You're not supposed to know anything about the messenger. All you know is who the king is and what he said. So for me, the Holy Spirit almost played this like Jesus, God, Holy Spirit. Like very important, but not like you know more about Jesus and you know more about God, but the Holy Spirit just kind of talks to you. That's not who the Holy Spirit is. He has his own passions, desires, loves. The thing is, they all agree with the others. He is in perfect agreement with the Father and the Son. But yet we're going to see his activity differently. Just like you wouldn't say God the Father and Jesus had the same role. Because you're like, no, they don't. They have different roles. The Holy Spirit has a different role. So what we're going to be talking about is some of what makes the Holy Spirit the Holy Spirit. And why is that so important for our life? Why do we need to know that about him? Because I'm going to tell you what. Sometimes when you're in a sticky situation, let's just say a fence falls down. And you've had a friend for years and years and years. And you didn't know that he built fences for a living 30 years ago. All of a sudden, he walks up and says, hey, did you never know that I built fences 30 years ago? That's what I do for a living. I got you. I'd be like, I'm so thankful I know you and that I know you better. Help me with my fence, right? If we don't know the passions and the skills of the people we know around us, it changes how we look to them. So if you don't know who the Holy Spirit is and you don't know what he loves and he's skilled at, you won't look to him. You won't look for him to what you need. So let's talk about the Holy Spirit a little bit. As you get to know him, you will get to know God better. First thing is, he's holy. It's in the name. He's the Holy Spirit, all right? But that means he's morally pure and he's righteous. He is just like God the Father and God that he cannot stand sin. It grieves him, it says in Ephesians. In fact, in Ephesians 4, it says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all your bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander and every form of malice, but be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you." The Holy Spirit cares, and he's holy, he's righteous, he's living in you. Don't grieve him. In fact, we learn in Acts 5 with Ananias and Sapphira that the Holy Spirit is not to be messed with. This was a couple at the beginning of the church who decided, hey, I want to act really generous and be seen as really generous, but I'm going to lie and tell them I gave them everything and I'm going to hold back half of it. What does Peter say to that couple? Hey, you not only lied to me, you lied to the Holy Spirit. And later in the passage he says, you lied to God himself, the Holy Spirit. And in that time, those two, that couple, both were given a chance to tell the truth. Both decided to double down, and the Holy Spirit killed them. Now, thankfully, that's not normal. Thankfully, when you and I lie to God, which we do more than we would like to say, he doesn't just strike us dead. But that was a lesson to help us understand. You can't just mess with the Holy Spirit. He's God. Later on in Acts, there's a man named Barnabas, and he tried to buy the power of the Holy Spirit. He's like, hey, this is really neat. When you touch people, wonderful things happen, and you call it the Holy Spirit. Can I buy that? And Peter read him the riot act. He said, you better repent right now and hope that God doesn't punish you for that. Repent. The Holy Spirit is not something to make your life better and make you richer and make you more powerful. He's God. He's a gift given freely. So the Holy Spirit is holy, just so we get that laid out first, because that's why we call him the Holy Spirit. But as you get to know him, he's someone you actually want to get to know. How do I know that? Because when he came to the church, his impact on those people who he dwelled in them, he came into them, is that he created them in them love and unity and generosity and care and concern for one another and joy. You know what? In Ephesians, it's called the fruits of the Spirit. And we think about that as like, that's how we're supposed to live. But you know who is that way all the time? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, if you think about the fruits of the Spirit, is loving. He's good. He has joy. Let me start at the beginning so you're not confused. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. If I told you that there was a friend I would introduce you with and that's how they lived all the time, you'd be like, show me that friend. I want to be around that guy. I want to be around that woman. They're always loving. They're joyful. They're filled with peace. They're patient and kind. So when you think about the Holy Spirit, don't think about some impersonal being. Think of someone who's in you that is always looking to show you love and help you live that way. The Spirit is also the personal presence of the living God. This is important. This is one of the main things I want you to learn this morning. The Spirit is the personal, life-giving presence of God. And that's important. The word for Spirit, wait, I need to take a drink before I do this, because it's in Hebrew. And I can't do it without taking a drink through, is ruah. Try to say that. Say that. Ruah. You have to take a deep breath first. Ruah. That same word in Hebrew that's translated spirit is translated breath. And it's translated wind. And some of you might already know this. The breath, the Spirit of God, the ruah. It's what gives you life. That's why in Genesis, when the Spirit is hovering over the face of the water, It's dark and formless and void. There's no life living there. But as soon as God gives the word, the Spirit breathes life into his creation. It says that in the Psalms that when God takes away his Spirit, people die. The animals die. And when God gives his Spirit and sends it forth, it brings new life. So the Spirit of God is quite literally the life of God. He's breathing life into us, like with Adam. That helps us understand that when Jesus says in John 3, unless one is born of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is of the flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. The Spirit is life. He brings life to us. And in that same passage, guess what? Jesus compares the Spirit to the wind. It's like, just like you can't see the wind, you can see the effects of the wind. You don't know where it's coming from, but it has impact. He says, so it is with the Spirit. It has power and energy that we don't always see. In fact, Romans 8:11 says this. If the Spirit of him, that's God, who raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Do you realize that the Spirit of God is who gave life back to Jesus? Makes sense. He is the life-giving presence. He gives life back to, he raised Jesus from the dead, and now Paul is saying, that same Spirit's in you guys. He gives you life. He is your hope. And actually, this life-giving nature about the Holy Spirit helps us understand why he cares so much about the gospel. Because the Holy Spirit gave life, and sin brought death. And the Holy Spirit longs to give life back. He longs to see everyone come and be saved. And so the Holy Spirit has been personally on a mission to help proclaim Jesus as Messiah. He has been so involved through the whole Bible, that if you don't know this about him, that this is his driving passion, that the Holy Spirit longs to share with you about the Messiah and longs for people to come to know Jesus so that they may be given life, then you just don't know the Holy Spirit as well as you will after the sermon. Right? We're all learning all the time. So let's go through the points in your bulletin. You're like, Nathan, the bulletin doesn't match. I know, I'm sorry. That was all the intro. All right. So the Holy Spirit. How was the Holy Spirit involved in the gospel? Because by the end of this sermon, where we're going to walk away is saying, if you hope to ever share the gospel without the Holy Spirit, you're missing literally everything that Jesus gave to you to do it with. We have the number one hitter. We have the best person in the universe to help us, and so we need his help. So let's go to your bulletin there. You can see the scripture references since they won't be on the screen, and we'll be moving through this together just to talk about who he is and what he's done. So the Holy Spirit prepared for and promised the Messiah. He was involved with preparing for the coming of Jesus. How did he do that? Well, the Old Testament says that the Holy Spirit came upon certain men and women. It says the Holy Spirit was with them, and he was equipping them, empowering them to do exactly what God needed them to do. In the Old Testament, you know what often they needed to do? They needed to protect the line of Adam all the way to David, the messianic line, to make sure there was a people of God, and the Holy Spirit was regularly empowering people and helping them so that Israel could become a nation and they could have a kingdom, and from that kingdom would come the Messiah. So the first person, one of the first persons we see about the Holy Spirit is Joseph. When he's in Egypt, they say that the Pharaoh said, who else could we find who is so wise that has the Spirit of God in him? So Joseph was there, and what did he do? He saved the family of Israel. He brought them to Egypt, and God used them to save that family and give them a place to live. So we see that in Joseph. We see it with Moses. Moses had the Spirit of God in him to lead the people out and to give them the covenants and to write scripture. Actually, in his ministry, Moses, God says, hey, I'll take some of the Spirit I've given to you and I'm going to give it to the men in Israel and help them lead. So God's Spirit was, the Holy Spirit was with Moses helping him. We see that with Joshua, Samson, Samuel, David. We see it with women in the Old Testament too, as prophetesses. Yes, they were listening to the Holy Spirit and he was helping them proclaim God's truth. And he promised the Messiah through these people. He used these people to promise the Messiah was coming so that we would never lose sight of saving people. How do I know that? How do I know the Holy Spirit was the one giving them the message about Jesus? How do I know that? 1 Peter 1, 10 through 12 says this about salvation that we celebrate. It says, this salvation was something even the prophets wanted to know more about. And when they prophesied about this gracious salvation for you, the prophets, they wondered what time or situation the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about. Okay, so when Scripture says the Spirit of Christ, that's the Holy Spirit. When Scripture says the Spirit of God, that's the Holy Spirit. So just to make sure, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, was telling them in advance about Christ's suffering and his great glory afterwards. And they were told that their messages were not even for themselves, but they're for you. And now this good news has been announced by those who preached in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. It is all so wonderful that even the angels are eagerly watching these things happen. And in 2 Peter 1:21 it says, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So when you read prophecy in the Old Testament, whose voice are you hearing? The Holy Spirit. Let me read you just one prophecy, just so you can... I didn't think about this. When I read prophecy about the Messiah, I'm listening to the Holy Spirit. I'm listening to the gospel from him. It says this in Isaiah 9, 2 through 7. Isaiah 9, 2 through 7, if you want to write that in your bulletin. This is the Holy Spirit talking about the Messiah. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. In verse 6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. And on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The people who heard this prophecy were living in a land of darkness. They were looking forward to the day of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit was saying, look, it's coming. So he's preparing them for it, he's promising it, and then he participates in it when Jesus comes. That's our next point. It's no surprise that when Jesus is born, we see the Holy Spirit everywhere. If you turn to the book of Luke, that's the first part of Acts. They should have just put them together in your Bible because they go together. The book of Luke, we're going to see how often the Holy Spirit is involved personally with Jesus showing up. The first person that he actually engages with is Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, who was a promised figure in the Old Testament. And the Holy Spirit actually sends an angel, all right, he's there, and he's telling this man, you're going to have a son. Your wife is barren, I know she's too old to have kids, but she'll have a child. And so he doubts, and so he's made mute, he can't talk. And then he goes and he visits the wife, Elizabeth. And so he goes to Elizabeth, and he visits her. And you'll see that the Holy Spirit actually comes upon her. And this happens when Mary visits. If you remember, Mary visits her, and the Holy Spirit fills Elizabeth, and she says, oh, Blessed are you among women, that the Lord would come here among us. Let me read what Zechariah has actually to say when the Holy Spirit came upon him. In Luke 1:67, Zechariah, this man who doubted, the Holy Spirit comes upon him, and what does the Spirit want to tell us? It says, praise to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has reigned up a horn, he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And as he said this through the holy prophets of long ago, and then we're going to get over to verse 76. And you, my child, he's talking to his son, John the Baptist, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare a way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation. Okay, don't zone out. What is the Holy Spirit telling Zechariah right now that John's going to do? He's going to go before the Lord to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God. So the Holy Spirit, when Jesus was even going to be born, shows up and he tells them exactly who's coming and what he's going to do. Then, when he goes to Mary, Mary asks, how is this going to happen? You remember? How is this going to happen? I'm a virgin. How am I supposed to have this miracle child, the Messiah? And what does the angel of the Lord say? He says this, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Jesus was born through the power of the Holy Spirit. He was given life. After he was given life, he went to the temple, and the Holy Spirit led two people there, Simeon and a prophetess. And they met Jesus and the parents there, and they prophesied over Jesus there, and they said, look, he's here, and the Holy Spirit orchestrating all of it. Then when Jesus was born and he started his ministry, the Holy Spirit was there. The Holy Spirit indwelt and empowered Jesus' ministry to accomplish the saving work. We have to move a little quicker here. The first thing we see that before Jesus starts his ministry in Luke chapter 3, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too, and he was praying. Don't skip past the praying part. Everyone is being baptized, and Jesus was praying. Heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended like a dove on him bodily, in the form of a dove. And a voice came from heaven saying, you are my Son, whom I love, and whom I'm well pleased. And immediately in the power of the Holy Spirit, it says, chapter 4, verse 1, he sent Jesus out into the wilderness to be tempted. And then in 4:14, he says he brought in the power of the Holy Spirit back to Galilee, his homeland, to preach. And that's what we actually read this morning at the beginning of our service, that he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and he went into the synagogue, and he opened the scroll to Isaiah, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to heal the blind, to pronounce salvation. The Holy Spirit was involved with his birth, and he empowered him to do the ministry of what the Messiah was supposed to do. Jesus said this all the time, I do this in the power of the Spirit. Let's skip forward to Acts. The Holy Spirit does the same thing with the church. He comes down and he indwells the church, and he empowers them and he emboldens them for what they're supposed to do. It shouldn't surprise us because he did that with Jesus. It says this in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. This is the birth of the church. The Holy Spirit gives life. Do you remember? That's what he does, and he gives power. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. They were praying, by the way. It just doesn't say it here. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. Yeah, spirit, wind, same word. The sound, so they could know. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and it divided into tongues of fire, which was a representation of the presence of God in the Old Testament. Pillar of fire, right? So we knew it was him. We knew it was God. And it rested on each one of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem devout men from every other nation under heaven. Okay, so when the Spirit shows up, the first thing he does is he gives the gift of speaking in languages that they didn't know. Because what was his goal? What is this goal of the Spirit? Do you remember? It's to preach the gospel to the whole world and to save as many as will listen. And there in Jerusalem, people from every nation could hear the gospel in their own tongue. And in that moment, they're like, what's going on? And you know who received boldness to not just speak up and say something stupid? Peter. Peter's always been bold. But usually his boldness turned into like, you know, I would wish I was as bold as Peter and even make mistakes that he tried to do. But guess what he did this time? He's filled with the Holy Spirit, so you know what he does well? He proclaims Christ. And he says, hey, what you see here isn't craziness. The Old Testament talks about it. It says that in the time of the Messiah, that God will pour his Holy Spirit on everyone, the rich and the poor, the young and the old, the male and the female, the servants and the slaves, and they're all going to be serving the Lord. That's what this is all about. And Jesus, who you just crucified, David talked about that he would come back from the dead. The Holy Spirit told us all about this, so you need to repent and believe. And guess what happens? 3,000 souls were added that day. But not just that. They started sharing everything together, all of their goods. If there was a need, they met it. They prayed. They listened to the apostles' teaching. They dedicated themselves to the word and prayer. So the Holy Spirit comes and fills the church, but he's not satisfied, church. It's not just so we can enjoy one another's presence and share love and joy and peace and patience and kindness just with this room. The Holy Spirit immediately brings power and boldness. Write that word in your bulletin if you're writing or taking notes. Boldness. Because there's one attribute of the Holy Spirit that I'm going to share at the end here that we need most. We need to know that the Holy Spirit is really bold. He ain't scared. Because he has the message of salvation for the entire world. And where the Holy Spirit is, boldness follows. Immediately after that day, it says the disciples went right up to the Temple Mount in broad daylight and preached the gospel every day. And then they'd get dragged into the courts, the religious courts, and then they would speak on behalf of Christ with boldness. And one of my favorite verses that I think you and I probably need to know is when Peter was standing there before the trial, being questioned, why are you talking about this Christ? He says, this stone that you rejected, this Jesus, has become the cornerstone. And there's no salvation. There's salvation in no one else. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which you must be saved. And now when the council saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Now, usually when I read that verse, I was like, yeah, they'd been with Jesus. That's why Peter and John were so bold and so good at this. They had spent 3 years with Jesus. Had they become bold and good at this? No. What was the difference? The Holy Spirit inside of them. Jesus had not failed them. He was a really good teacher. He gave really good lessons and even gave them chances. You know what the big difference was? Is they had the power of the Holy Spirit, God, giving them wisdom. They were uneducated, common men. Some of you are really educated, actually. But at the end of the day, it's not our education that makes a difference with the gospel. It's our dependence on the Holy Spirit. What they did immediately after that, and this is what we're going to end with, they went back and they were threatened by the council to no longer speak of this Jesus. So they went directly back to the church and they said, hey, guess what? They're threatening us. What do we do? I'll tell you what they did. They prayed. Here's the end of their prayer in chapter 4, verse 29. "And now, Lord, look upon the threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through your name, the holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed together, the place in which they gathered was shaken. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Wish we had more time. But if you read the book of Acts, you're going to read about some men who are normal guys. Stephen was not an apostle. He was just a good man filled with the Spirit of God who was chosen to serve widows. And God used him to preach to the council, and they killed Stephen. And after that death, they went and took and went through Jerusalem ripping Christians out of their homes, throwing them in prison. Then Philip, who was one of his friends, got scattered to Samaria. They all had to run away, and while he was there, he preached boldly the gospel. God went to Philip, who was praying and preaching, and he said, "Hey, stop what you're doing," which is north in Samaria, "run 65 miles down to Jerusalem, and then go down a little farther to the area of Gaza. Just go there." He's like, "It's going really well here in Samaria," but he goes. And when he's there, he sees a man in a chariot, and the Holy Spirit says, "Go talk to him." He's like, "Okay." And so he runs and talks to him. He jumps up in the chariot, and what does he hear? A man reading the book of Isaiah. The Holy Spirit is working in this eunuch from Ethiopia, a Jew. Ethiopia is way south in Egypt. The Holy Spirit is spreading the gospel out of Jerusalem, and he wanted to make sure his man, Philip, ran 80 miles to catch this eunuch who the Holy Spirit was already talking to. And when he got there, Philip just obeyed. And you know what he did? He just asked a question. "Hey, do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "No, how am I supposed to know that? You got to tell me." And he started from that scripture, and he preached the gospel of Christ to him. And did you know that there's churches in Ethiopia because of that interaction? That's what I'm asking this Friday. When you go back to work this week, you have the Holy Spirit if you've put your faith in Christ in your heart. And he has a burning passion to share Jesus with those you know. You might struggle with having a passion for this, but he doesn't. So as Brother Gary has been talking on prayer, pray and ask, "Holy Spirit, help me to be bold. Help me to see where you're working, and I'll join you. And say yes and obey." The Holy Spirit does the work. We just be a part of it. So hopefully as we went through this message, you realize that the Holy Spirit has been preaching the gospel since Adam and Eve decided to sin. He has been a part of the rescue mission. You have the greatest evangelist in your heart, waiting to help you share the gospel. Ask him to help you. Ask him to help you this Friday to have courage to just ask a spiritual question or just to show love. Ask him. He will answer.